Good morning to all and to our guests. Welcome as we are together to offer the Sunday Mass here at the Church of the Madeleine. One of the people that we've been praying for in recent weeks by name is a man by the name of Blaine Farmer. He is the brother of Madeleine parishioner Christine Wilson. Blaine was diagnosed recently with cancer, and he is now at the Clare House in Tulsa. It's a palliative care hospice-type facility. Blaine has received the final sacraments, and I was able to visit him yesterday. He was able to speak, and he has kept on saying how he wants to stay in touch with the church. And so he has. And so we will stay in touch with him. So please keep him in your prayers for a peaceful death and strength to Chris and her family. One of those that joins us today for Mass is James Porter, a seminarian for our diocese. He has begun a pastoral internship here at the Madeleine. He'll be here for about a year, and he's going to be speaking here in a few moments about special events sponsored by the Office of Vocations of the diocese during the summer. Please know that after this Mass, we have a brunch for new parishioners. Whether you're registered here or not, it's okay. Be in the rectory. Just if you need directions, please talk to me after Mass. This is a short walk of the house adjoining to the church. We have recently a in-pew survey when we encourage people to write comments. And one of the comments had to do with about activities for our children and youth. And please know that we have a number of events scheduled for this week. We have a middle school event on Wednesday. On the Thursday mornings during the summer, we have a gathering for our children pre-K to the fourth grade. We also have our family movie night, the first one of the summer, this coming Friday at 6:30. And also we have Totus Tuus that's beginning next weekend for our children and our youth. And if you're registered here in the parish and we have your name and information and email address for those with children and with youth, you should be getting this information. But for whatever reason, if you're not, please let Becky Holder know, our Director of Religious Education, or myself. We can remedy that problem very easily. And also know that for our events, for our children and youth, guests are always welcome. The friends of your children are always welcome, as well as guests are welcome on this coming Thursday night for our Theology and Cork Speaker Series. Now, please keep on your calendar the ordination date of Bishop-elect David Condrilla. It'll be Wednesday, June the 29th at 2 p.m. at the Rental Center at the University of Tulsa. We want to have a good showing because the Texans are coming by the busload, apparently. And a new fact has emerged in recent days about our Bishop-elect, quite important to some. He drives a truck. Now, this is looking better every day. At least when you had Bishop Slattery for 22 years, so it's kind of like, oh, we're a little nervous about the next, what's going to happen in the future. But now, as to the make and model of the truck, it is as so far unknown. But for some of us, this is an important question. Is he a Ford guy? Is he a Chevy, Dodge, Toyota? We don't know yet, but that's okay. Whatever the make and model and color of the truck, or whether it's a standard or an automatic, we will welcome him with open arms nonetheless, especially to be here for his ordination on the 29th. I saw recently the movie Risen. It was released in theaters earlier this year at the beginning of Lent. It tells the story of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, but does so from a different angle than most movies of the same theme. And I kind of refer to those movies as Jesus movies. And most of them, they end with the crucifixion and resurrection. Risen uses those events as a starting point, which makes it a bit unusual. And also the story is not told from the viewpoint of the disciples of Jesus, but rather from that of a Roman army officer who is given first the task of guarding the body of Jesus after it's taken from the cross and buried in the tomb, and then finding out what happened to the body when it is discovered missing. The main character of the movie is not Jesus, but this non-believing pagan Roman who assumes naturally enough that the body has simply been stolen by the disciples, and they are now spreading these rumors, this lie that Jesus has come back from the dead. The Roman is convinced that when he finds Jesus, it will be in the form of a quickly decaying body. Now, without spoiling the movie for you, if you wish to see it, I can tell you that he does indeed find Jesus. But it's not in the form of a rotting corpse. And the rest of the film is about the Romans' attempt to understand the meaning of the resurrection. Because when he does find Jesus, everything that he has come to believe up to that point as being certain, everything that he has accepted as being true, has been overturned. These days we hear a lot in the church about what we're calling the new evangelization. Now, it can be seen as a specific outreach to those who are raised Catholic but are not practicing for whatever reason. And we must admit there are a great many people in our country today that would fall into that category. It can also be seen as a specific outreach to those who are unchurched, those who haven't really heard the gospel message, those who identify with no religious belief or affiliation, the nuns, as they're sometimes called. That's N-O-N-E-S, not N-U-N-S. And we must admit there are a great many people, particularly the younger generation, that would see themselves in that way. I don't see the either outreach as being mutually exclusive. I think it's more of a both and rather than an either or. Bishop Robert Barron, when asked recently what the characteristics would mark an evangelized Catholic, he said at the very heart, it would be someone who believes that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Now that seems like a given, but he goes on to explain why that's important, why that's at the very heart. Because he says that everything else that you would associate with a practicing evangelized Catholic, prayer, going to Mass, the Eucharist, Scripture, adoration, confession, acts of charity and mercy, and so on, all spring from the Easter proclamation that Jesus is risen. It is the single and true belief from which all other beliefs are to be measured. And if needed, overturned. Everything in life and in death is to be built upon this truth. The gospel preached by the apostles and proclaimed by the church, as St. Paul tells us today, is not of human origin, but it is a divine revelation of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and for our salvation. This is the basic characteristic of someone who has been evangelized to the gospel message that Jesus is risen. It is to see, believe, and to live out this greatest of all God's acts of mercy upon humanity, the mercy that calls us to repentance, that calls us to conversion. Because all that happens in the Bible, the entire Old Testament and the New Testament prior to the resurrection, is leading up to this great act of mercy. And this includes the prophet Elijah praying over the body of this dead child, this child of this widowed mother, who is restored to life. It includes Jesus raising from the dead another son of another widowed mother. Both of them prefigure the resurrection of another son, Jesus, of another widowed mother whose name is Mary. The greatest of all God's acts of mercy. And everything that happens in the New Testament after the resurrection is flowing from this single and true event from which everything that we believe about life and death is to be measured and, if needed, overturned. And no, the people of the ancient world were not a bunch of ignorant, gullible, superstitious fools who fell for a lie about the resurrection of Jesus, some fairy tale. Because that's the argument that sometimes is floated today. Remember, part of the Jewish religious authorities, the group known as the Sadducees, they did not believe in the resurrection, period, for anybody. Another part of that religious group, the Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection, but only for the just on the last day, the day of judgment. The Romans did not believe in the resurrection, at least not for Jewish troublemakers, which is how they saw Jesus. And remember, Jesus' hand-picked disciples, including St. Peter, including St. Mary Magdalene, our patron, they had trouble believing it at first as well. St. Paul, when he preaches about the resurrection to the crowds in Athens, Greece, we're told about in the Acts of the Apostles, they all but laugh in his face and walk away. Those who believe in the Easter proclamation that Christ is risen are not fools. They're not gullible, ignorant, or superstitious. We don't believe in fairy tales. We believe that Jesus is risen. We believe this is true. The question then, as with the Roman officer in the movie Risen, is what does this mean? Allow me to throw out a few suggestions. First, it means that what is held up to us as truths but are actually our lies, specifically the addiction to the pursuit of power, pleasure, wealth, and status, for which so much of our modern culture is fixated upon as being certain and true, these must be overturned in our lives and they must be abandoned. Second, it means that our physical deaths are not the end. There is more to life than ending up as a decaying corpse. Each one of us has an immortal soul for which God reaches out in mercy to us. And there is our eternal hope. Third, the gospel is not spread by locking it away. It is shared by our living it. To proclaim that Jesus is risen is to inform and guide our actions, our attitudes, our view of ourselves and of the world, as well as our right worship, our prayer, our devotions. And we are to be willing to tell others what we believe and why we believe it. Because everything in life and death is built upon this truth. It is the mark of our evangelization. It is the mark of the greatest of all of God's acts of mercy.